is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 604. I'm Lisa Sheps, and I am operating solo today because we record this on Monday, and my power has been out all day long, and it just came back on. So we'll get it done as we can get it done. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. During the pandemic, folks, we are pre-recorded and homegrown. Stay with us.
Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
It is Wednesday, February 17th, 2021. On the show today, we have Michael Meggs of Central Texas Live Theater. And mostly it's going to be music because, well, we're in the middle of a blackout here on Monday, which is when we are recording this. Stick with us. We'll talk to you after this song. Someone will know my name. That, if you didn't get it from the lyrics at the very end, is a song called Carrie from Carrie the Musical. And this was the 2012 revival of Carrie that did much better than the original back in 1988, which was a huge flop, opened and closed on the same day, I believe, or maybe there was a few performances. But it is one of the more infamous flops on Broadway. And the reason why I played that is in honor of Mr. Joe Allen, who passed away this week at the age of, I believe, the age of 84. I will double check that. But Joe Allen is a restaurateur, and he has the theater called Joe Allen's. By the way, he died at age 87. And I spent a lot of time at Joe Allen's, but one of the things that not only was Joe Allen's a great place to hang out as a theater person, but it was also known for its flop wall. And it had flop after flop after flop on this wall, and it was just infamous. As a matter of fact, and you know, we keep going back to me, my show, Oh Brother, which closed in 3 days in 1981, we were really upset because we did not make the flop wall, and we felt that we should have, because we were rather infamous at the time. But Godspeed to Joe Allen. If you're ever in New York, it's a great place to go for before theater, or after theater, or really any time. I just love Joe Allen's. I have a lot of really fond memories there. So today's show is mostly going to be music because, as I mentioned at the beginning of this, we record this on Monday, and Nicole and I usually get on the phone on Zoom at 9 a.m. And do it. But I lost power at 2 a.m. on Monday morning, and it did not come on until just now, and it's 5 p.m. So needless to say, in my house, it is 38 degrees. Slowly and slowly getting warmer now that I have heat again. But so I don't have a lot of time to go through a lot of stuff, so we're going to play mostly music. And we have a great reason to do it. We did get notice just recently that the new Broadway in Austin season was announced. And if you remember, when it was announced before it got shut down, we were really thrilled about the season, and I'm still thrilled with the season. So we're going to play music from everything, and we'll play music in order. So here's the first show that we're going to play. It's going to be December of this year, December 7th through 9th. It's a little show called Hamilton. And here, I don't know what I'm going to play, but I'm going to play something from Hamilton right now. Okay, that was the that was not Hamilton, but the Hamilton mixtape, and that was Kelly Clarkson singing there. So I just couldn't just bring myself just to play right from the Hamilton, because we play that a lot. So I thought I would mix it up and play it from the mixtape. And speaking of Hamilton, I know you guys don't care what I do, but I just re-upped my Disney Plus subscription, and of course I had to watch Hamilton again. But what I want to talk to you about Disney Plus right now is that, you know, we've talked about Cinderella on this show so many times, and we all have our own Cinderella, because there's the Julie Andrews Cinderella, there is a Leslie Ann Warren version, and of course there's the Brandy version, and I talk about the Brandy version a lot. I just love that version. Brandy, Jason Alexander, Bernadette Peters, Whoopi Goldberg, you name it, they're in the show. So as a tease to that, Broderick, who I just learned about, and that was just an amazing thing. I know if Nicole here, her mouth would be agape, but I just learned about, not Broderick, but Todrick Hall. I just learned about him, and I should have known better. He's got some great Broadway cred, but he made his name doing YouTube videos. But he did a video with Brandy, which is a mashup of Cinderella. So we're going to play that here. If you want to see the video that goes along with that, you can go to offstageonair.com and there will be a link. So here is that audio part of the video.
A slipper made of glass is just a shoe, and dreamers never make a dream come true.
Impossible. Things are happening every day. The sweetest sounds I'll ever hear are still inside my head. The kindest words I'll ever know are waiting to be said.
Hi. The most entrancing sight of all is yet for me to see.
And the dearest love in all the world,
it's waiting. Can be whatever I want to be. On the wing of my fancy, I can fly anywhere,
and the world will
open its arms to me. Yeah, I'm a young Egyptian princess or milkmaid. I'm the greatest prima donna in my land. I'm an heiress who has always had a silver. The cool and confident kind of air. Just as long as I stay in my own little corner, all alone in my own little chair.
Fal-de-ral and fiddly-dee,
fiddly-faddly-foodle.
But the world is full of zanies and fools
who don't live a sensible
sensible people say.
And because these daft and dewy adults keep building up impossible hopes, impossible
things are happening every
will ever be.
There is music in I'm a golden carriage, impossible for a plain country bumpkin and a prince to join in marriage.
And four white mice will never be four white horses. Such vulgar all and fiddle-dee-dee, of course, is impossible.
But the world is full of zanies and fools who don't believe in sensible rules and won't believe what sensible people say.
Experience the magic of Rogers.
I was so happy to see that. It was really a lot of fun. So please take a look at it. Again, you can find a link to it at offstageonair.com. I, of course, did take the time to watch the Brandy version once again, and it's just lovely. I do like me some Cinderella. Leslie Ann Warren is my Cinderella, as I think I mentioned. And then we did talk about the fact that the Julie Andrews version doesn't have a bona fide taping. They did, forgot what it's called, but they basically shot in film on a video screen during the live recording of it, which is crazy. And maybe recording isn't the right word because they weren't recording at the time. So the next thing I want to talk about is, okay, don't kill me, but I want to talk about Phantom of the Opera, Andrew Lloyd Webber. Dun dun! I, as many of you people know, am not a big fan of Andrew Lloyd Webber or the Phantom of the Opera. But one thing I do like about the Phantom of the Opera is the set. The set is just amazing, 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 amazing. It's interesting that they are revamping this set in London on the West End before it reopens to sort of blur the lines between where the stage ends and the audience begins, very much like The Great Comet did, I think. But I learned a new word today. So in this article, which came from The Stage, it says that the application states the new set design offers the opportunity to accommodate the production sound equipment in the Scaglioia section, niches such that the lower two boxes can be used as originally intended. The previous production used these boxes to accommodate the sound system. So the word that I learned was Scagliola. Does anybody know what that is? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's a plaster made to look like marble. That's the end of that story. So what we're not going to do is play anything from Phantom of the Opera because I don't want to. The next song we're going to play something from is from Hadestown. And we're going to play When the Chips Are Down.
Life ain't easy.
Life ain't fair.
Okay, that was from Hadestown. I neglected to say when that was going to be. Hadestown is playing January 11th to January 16th, 2022. So very, very, very excited about that. So I'm going to hopefully get to all the songs from the next season, although I don't think I'm going to. But I should say this, that two shows that were originally scheduled are not going to be there. One is Wicked, which, yeah, I'm okay with. I've seen Wicked so many times. I do love it. Don't get me wrong. I love Wicked. I'm a Wicked fan. I love the books, or the book. I say books because my favorite, I forgot his name. Anyway, but my favorite book is Confessions of an Ugly Stepsister. Anyway, the other one that's not coming, which just breaks my heart, is To Kill a Mockingbird. But we are going to go and play something from Tootsie, which is going to play February 22nd through February 27th, 2002. And it is I'm Alive. We will see you after the break.
It was dark. I was dead.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and sometimes Nicole Shiro. This is KOOP 91.7 FM. During the pandemic, we are homegrown and pre-recorded. And today we're recording on Monday. The lights went out at 2 a.m. They came on briefly. And now they're out again. So hopefully I can get this in. And if you're listening to it, then I did get it in. At this point, I would have played something from Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, which is going to be in Austin from March 22nd through 27th. So you'll pretend you're listening to that, but what you'll actually be listening to is from Blood Brothers, and the song is called Bright New Day.
Oh, bright new day, we're moving away. Oh,
okay, that was a Brand New Day from Blood Brothers. So we're going to just jump right into our first interview, our only interview, with Michael Meggs of Central Texas Live Theater. Here it is. All right, I've been left out here alone at the Zoom machine. I was expecting Nicole to join me, but she didn't, so maybe she'll just come in the middle. But let's hop in, open the door, and see who we're talking to today.
Well, hello.
Michael Meggs, how are you?
Hi.
Excuse me, Michael Meggs, how are you?
You got it right the second time. Thank you.
I went back to my default pronunciation of your last name, which I've discovered I've been pronouncing wrong for all these years.
As I said, you're not the only one. And this, I inherited the confusion of spelling, but it's Meggs as in legs and eggs.
Excellent. And I wanted to talk to you because you created a website, altruistically, I should add, that focuses on theater in Central Texas called CTX Live Theater.
Right.
Can you just tell our audience, first of all, when did it start and why and sure. all that stuff, all that sure. fal-de-rol, as we like to say.
I'll give you the mythic background. My wife and I, we retired from the U.S. State Department Diplomatic Service in 2007, and we decided we would relocate to Austin. For one thing, it's a capital, and they speak a different language, so we as diplomats felt perfectly good. But then, being newly retired, I had to look around and decide what was worth my time. What you're going to do when you're retired? I discovered very quickly that not only was it a matter of keep Austin weird, which, you know, didn't bother me too much, but it was also a very, very lively theater arts scene. Now, I've always been a follower of theater. In fact, I've got a master's in comparative literature and practical theater studies.
And you have multiple masters and multiple degrees, true. Do you not?
Well, yes, I've got four master's degrees, which is like the vice presidency. It's worth a pitcher of warm spit.
I don't know. When I read your bio, I was going, "Oh my God! I hope I speak articulate enough to speak to you."
You do just fine, Lisa. So this was back in 2008, and I got plugged into the theater scene as a face in the audience. And for a long time, that's what I tried to remain, sort of an anonymous person going there. But I began writing reviews, imitating my daughter, who had a cooking blog while she was finishing her undergraduate degree. And then that turned into a website, Austin Live Theater, thanks to my son, who is a computer engineer and set me up with the first version. So it became a matter, and subsequently, I realized it wasn't only Austin. There was a lot of theater all around. And so as the years went by, I reached further and further out, following what was going on all across Central Texas. As far as theater reporting, I follow from Waco, north of us, out to Fredericksburg and Kerrville, to the west. San Antonio, of course, is not quite as lively a theater town, but there's a lot going on there. I've sure. even following a theater in Port Aransas, the Rialto. There's one in Victoria. I don't intrude into the Houston area, but I do follow the Unity Theater in Brenham. So over time, it became a matter of saying, well, what's going on? What's going on? And the website evolved to the fact that it's now got four sections, if you will. The top section is theater reviews that I or my various collaborators work on. Dr. Dave Robinson is particularly active. And then I also post audition notices, which I glean from Facebook or from emails. I do a section on arts news, and I will pick up and mirror back all kinds of theater-related arts news. And that can include slideshows or videos. Very often that I sort of scoop off the internet, off Facebook, because I know that theater folks would be interested in them. And at the very bottom, but probably the most comprehensive, is a complete listing of all the theater that I'm aware that's going on in that huge, huge area.
Well, that's it's a huge undertaking. As someone who operates a theater, one of the things that is just amazing that we will send a press release out announcing something, and then like magic, it appears on CTX Live Theater, like almost immediately. So that's a lot of work to put all that together.
It is a lot of work. And before my son did a redesign in about 2016, I was on the computer working on it 5-6 hours a day.
Sure.
He has made it a lot more efficient, but it's still a matter of seeing what's going on. And if we were back producing theater full time all across the board, I'd probably be spending 3 hours a day. You know, it's a hobby. It's an obsession. You know, some maybe the day will come when I'll just get tired of doing this on a completely non-commercial basis as a gift to the community. But that day has not come yet.
Well, we love that you do this. I'm going to take a quick like step to the side and just ask you some. Where did you said that you entered this as a theater lover, and you did get you minored in theater from Vanderbilt in Nashville.
Right.
Was that right?
Right, that's right.
Where at what point in your life did you get this love of theater?
Probably as a sophomore in high school. Being in the chorus on an outdoor production of South Pacific.
Aha. There and, ain't nothing like a dame.
Exactly. I had exactly one line in that particular production. And I'm trying to remember what it was. it is absolutely gone, but it was a single line sung as one of the sailors in the chorus. And then my best friend in high school and I got very involved in what was a surprisingly adept and good high school theater program. That set the hook.
Yeah. Where did you grow up? What city?
Huntsville, Alabama.
Oh, wow.
Which actually, you know, if you think about it, Huntsville was one of the first tech cities.
Sure.
Because
of the space.
Exactly that. Mm-hmm. It had been 10,000 people in 1950, and then they brought the German rocket scientists, and it grew like crazy after that. So there were a lot of very smart people there.
If that's for me, could you please take a message?
Hello? Oh, no, they're gone. Sorry.
well, that's amazing. And then you went on to get international theater studies. So... You know, your CV reads like an incredible, you know, sort of Bond film of locations. There's just so much we could talk about, but concentrating on theater, you know, as someone from Alabama, and got sort of the bug of theater and then decided to study international theater. I don't get it.
It's really pretty simple, Lisa. On one hand, there was the interest in live narrative theater, being there where the action is happening, being part of it. On the other hand, I have a very deep interest in languages and language learning. So in my graduate studies, I figured, well, okay, I'll go into academia. And the University of Kansas had put together for the first time this international theater program, which was mostly literature, dramatic literature courses in theater from various languages and countries, but with the requirement of 9 hours of practical theater studies. And so what I did, I finished this program in 9 months because I drew on some previous work I'd done in a summer school in Vienna. And I wrote a thesis on theatrical versions of Don Quixote, having dug up some 400 or so citations and then doing an analysis of three of them, one in Spanish, one in German, and one in English.
Yeah, so I've read all of those.
The tension between languages and theater led to eventually, I went to the Peace Corps, particularly to improve my French. But when I came back, I went into business studies and passed the Foreign Service exam. And that led to a big detour of some 30 years moving different places across the world.
Well, that's, I think a lot of us could be envious of that. Coming back to present day and CTX Live Theater, you started, one could say that theater criticism is art unto itself. Are you self-taught there? How did you get into being a critic for theater?
Well, I wanted, having discovered theater here in Austin, I wanted to tell people about it. And using the sort of blogger format, originally it was simply a blog. I would talk about the show that I've seen and talk about the various parts that I particularly appreciated, in the hopes that by doing this, I would attract the attention of people and draw them off couches and into theaters. But as far as the actual art goes, it's by dint of having, at this point, written 780 theater reviews over the last 12 years.
We are all thrilled that you started this website. And one of the things that I love, it's got a listing of theaters. And when I first moved here, we had the Austin Circle of Theaters, which has a website with a listing of theaters. And that sort of went away. And now you are it. That's where if I wanted to go and just get a list of theaters to see what it is. And I would encourage people to go to ctxlivetheater.com and take a look at that list. It's pretty amazing. And I said, as you did, when I first moved here in 2004, that I was so surprised at the amount and quality of theater that was here.
Yeah, it's a remarkable, remarkable town. And, you know, the hashtag ATX Theater Group is trying to raise awareness of this. And unfortunately, well, you could say it's unfortunate that they started when COVID had shut everything down, or you could turn that around and say because everything had shut down, they had to stop and think and realize that this is a theater-rich town, and for some reason people don't know about it. You know, I've been waving the flag, but most of the people who look at my website are theater artists themselves.
Yeah. You're preaching to the choir.
Exactly. And I got resigned to that and then sort of decided that I liked that.
Yeah. Well, and what Mike was talking about, ATX Theater, of course, is a new organization that's talking about marketing and bringing awareness to the fact that there is theater in Austin. And so you've been doing your own part of that really good work. And so I'm really thrilled to have you on. Is there anything that you would like to tell my listeners that we may not have already talked about today? Is there anything that I missed?
Maybe I'll first point out that the website covers live narrative theater, because I had to focus. It doesn't cover improv, even though there's some terrific work going out there.
Yes,
there covers is. Very little dance, although Dave Robinson, for example, has written about some astonishing things that are going on. And it doesn't cover music. And, you know, this town is incredible for all sorts of music, from small groups to classical ensembles to the symphony, but nobody is writing about that, at least not in a critical mode.
Right.
Maybe critical is not the best way. I don't think of myself as a critic. I think of myself as a reviewer. And I'd love to have, you know, other websites out there covering those other things. But for the moment, and for the foreseeable future, CTX Live Theater is going to be about CTX and live narrative theater.
Wonderful. And that website is ctxlivetheater.com. And I do remember what I was going to ask you about, but I want folks to know that you are very involved with the Gilbert and Sullivan Society. I believe you're a board member.
Yes.
And Gilbert and Sullivan does some really great work. Do you ever review GNS shows?
No. It's a principle that since I'm involved in supporting it, I'm the bursar. I was secretary until this year, and then now I've been moved to the head of the production committee. So I'm not going to be writing about my own organizations. But Dr. Dave Robinson, who doesn't have that, has been kind enough to do reviews.
Awesome.
GNS was very, very ambitious. We were going to do a Scottish Mikado, taking it out of what has been criticized as Yellowface, and changing it from the Mikado to the big M, little C, capital A.
Oh, I love that.
Mikado. And we'd written it up. We'd spent 2 years working on it. We'd cast it. It had the first music rehearsal, and then bam, COVID closed us down.
Well, hopefully we'll get
put off until at least summer of 2022.
Yeah, well, and we're all hoping that gets out. That sounds like a lot of fun because the Mikado is so fraught. I mean, a lot of Gilbert and Sullivan in contemporary times is pretty fraught with some of the issues that it brings up,
right.
But Mikado especially so. Michael Meggs, thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope this isn't the last time. I hope we get you back.
Well, thank you. If I can find a way to get on stage, I'll come and insinuate myself with you. But otherwise, I'm available to chat about theater anytime.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa. See you.
He told us to praise him.
Okay, that was Change Don't Come Easy from Memphis. If we were sticking with the formula, we would have played something from Lion King, which is playing April 7th to 24th. And I'll just go on and give you the rest of the schedule. Summer, the Donna Summer Musical, will play May 3rd through 8th, 2022. And then finally, Mean Girls, August 2nd through 7th, 2022. So I want to talk about one last thing before we go, and that is the grant that the city is doing for legacy venues. And we just discovered a few days ago that legacy venues does not include nonprofits. So the theaters that are considered legacy, like Hyde Park, The Vortex, Austin Playhouse, these do not qualify. And also the museums that are considered legacy, which are several of them, also do not qualify. So my one thing is WTF, they need to fix that. So there's a lot of people that are plenty angry about that little thing, and I'm going to be one of those people. So the legacy venue grant should go for nonprofits as well. So if you agree. We're going to go out with More is Better from Mean Girls. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye, folks.
I was alone a lot, mostly observing things like hyenas and migrations and who.